August 25, 2021. It's the Walk from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Started off the show with John Coltrane off the Meditations, the big band version. The Father and Son, the Holy Ghost, and World of Convenience from the Mistons. If I'm pronouncing that right?
Yes, you are.
You can tell people I'm not man alone. They can't wait to be introduced. They bum rush my little fucking intro, but because of those Skype inventors in Estonia, software engineer geniuses, I got Sean and Micah from the Mist talking to me from Portland, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And we're talking about the port side one, not star. Both
no, 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 port side.
Both are great tents. Now, Sean, of course, I know you going back to Cracker Bash and shit, bitching fucking Power Trio, and got to share the stage many times, work a lot of gigs, and it's beautiful. But you got this new band now with the new band members, so I want to learn about the music journey. So, Micah, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man. Earliest, I was raised, I'm the youngest of six kids, so there was always music playing around the house. And, I mean, God bless all my older sisters, but I got to be honest, my older brother, who was closest to me in age, about 6 years older than me, he had great taste in music. And I remember hearing like Rush from him, like Exit Stage Left, and I remember hearing, you know, like P.I.L. And of course, my dad, he was a graphic designer, and Sean and I both had dads that were in the design world, and my dad loved Duane Eddy and old rock and roll, and he loved old jazz too. So those things all kind of, I think my first musical memory would be being at my dad's office and hearing him play some Ahmad Jamal stuff, and that stuff was really important to me. But as soon as I realized that that there was a world of punk rock and music that I could call my own that wasn't my dad's first, I dove deep into that, and that was at a very young age. I would say probably, you know, six or seven that I had, you know, my brother giving me tapes, and I had a little boom box, so I was listening to all sorts of crazy stuff back then. Way too young. I was corrupted early.
So that's like a lot of stuff for a musical memory. Okay.
Now,
this pad you grew up in with all the brothers and sisters and the graphic designer father who had an office where he played Ahmad Jamal, Miles Davis' favorite piano player, if you read the Quincy
right.
Troupe book. He said Red Garland Bogart too much. But he has him in the band, you know, whatever the fuck. Miles is a trip. Was there music instruments in the pad you grew up, Micah?
Yeah, there was a piano. And I loved that thing, but it scared the shit out of me. You know, it's an intimidating instrument because it embodies, you know, a percussion instrument, it's a melody instrument, and it's a harmony instrument all in one. So that to me was... It was just too much. I couldn't wrap my head around it. But my brother, he, at a very young age, got a guitar, and it was like an old Ibanez Roadstar 2 or something like that. And my dad helped him out to get it. And, man, when that thing was around, cause, you know, it wasn't often out where I could get at it, but when it was, I picked that thing up and learned power chords way too young too. So, there was. I didn't get into playing drum kit until I was like 14 or 15.
You didn't jump on that piano?
What's that?
Yeah, you got to give me a chance to ask you some questions.
Oh, sorry.
The speeches are fine, though, but, you know, monologues, a little Shakespearean. Because I want to know about the piano. It was intimidating, so you didn't jump on it. You didn't have to take lessons?
I took lessons for a year. It didn't resonate with me.
Okay. Bad experience?
Wouldn't say bad. I just, at a young age, knew it wasn't my jam.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. What about first record you bought with your own money?
First record I bought with my own money? It's going to be weird, but I bought Paranoid Times 7-inch.
Okay. That's Minutemen. And first gig you went and saw?
One first gig, Butthole Surfers.
Okay. And at school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I got into the jazz band when I was a sophomore. I auditioned in.
Playing what?
Drum kit.
Okay.
I'd only been playing a couple of years at that point.
Yeah, because you said you got the kit at 14?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how'd that fucking happen? Did you ask, was it a Christmas present or something?
I had an uncle named Jerry who had a drum kit at his house in Salem, Oregon, and I went and played it one time and fell in love with it, and my dad heard that I was, he heard potential there, and so he kept checking what we called the nickel ads and found a drum set for my birthday, and I had a little bit of money, and he fronted the rest and went and got it for me.
But he had a drum set also?
You mean you No. My uncle had one,
yeah.
But I played it, and my dad heard me playing it and was stoked
and
on
so
that.
So instead of you having to use your uncle's kit, get a kit of your own.
Yeah, okay. I got lucky like
Understood. Yeah, well, did your uncle give you some lessons?
I got lessons. Lessons from a guy in Salem who was a decent teacher, taught me what I needed to know, and I kind of taught myself a lot.
Okay, because I was wondering, when did your uncle play? When he was much younger and he just had this kit sitting around?
Pretty much. He was a jack-of-all-trades instrument-wise. He was from Holland, and so he moved to America to be in a rock and roll band and didn't necessarily work out, but he learned to play a lot of different instruments. He was proficient in all of them, and he had a music room, but he wasn't gigging or anything like that.
Did he let you into that music room? Did you get to jamming it and shit?
I got to play the drum kit a few times in there, and then I, luckily got my own drum kit and set up my own jam room at home,
yeah,
so I didn't have to drive.
Salem is like the capital. That's kind of far from Portland. Yeah.
I grew up in a town called Silverton. It was about 20 miles away from Salem.
Oh,
so I grew up an hour outside of Portland, you know?
Yeah, because I know Salem's south of this smaller town.
Yeah.
A lot of states are that way. They got a smaller town for the capital. Okay. So, yeah, have your own pad in your own bedroom. And probably, since your brother's on the fucking guitar, after school, you guys start jamming?
Honestly, I've never been in a band with my brother. That's crazy. I've never even thought about that. But, no, I've never been in a band with him.
Well, not a band. Maybe you're just jamming at home, no?
No, he was doing his own thing, and I don't know, we have that kind of relationship where he's like, yeah, you're picking it up, you're doing all right, you'll do your thing, and, by that time, he was out of the house and, working full time and being a young husband, and I was still in my teens, so we were far enough apart where it didn't really work out that way.
But you probably got maybe high school friends then, right? Some garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
I would call it a wine cellar band. And I hate to say that because a friend of mine in my first band had this amazing house. And his mom was my preschool teacher. And she would let us jam in her basement, which was an old wine cellar. It was kind of bizarre. Kind of a privileged way to be able to play music, but it sounded good.
Yeah,
but all the wine was gone by the time
we
were.
Let the drum set up in somebody else's pad.
Yeah.
Usually you practice at the drummer's pad because they're people have to put up with that shit, but it's very cool. very cool. Look, you guys sent me a bunch of Mistens music, so I'm going to play Who's in Store?
Sickness in Triumph live and
my poop is loosened.
Live in Springdon.
Hey, what's next?
How about some for real songs next?
Sure. What's up, Norm?
We're doing Monsoon.
Yeah, let me switch here.
So what you know? What's going on? So we can tell the listeners here.
Well,
is we've got Dan Jones and the For Reals. These are sometimes separate entities, as Dan sort of gave a clue to. He's from Eugene, and the For Reals are a Portland band. They've been playing quite a lot together recently. You guys just did a tour, is that correct?
That's correct.
Where did you tour?
We went down to the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Played a few shows down there.
It was more of a tour lit.
As Archie Bunker would say.
We became very close, though. We had four guys in a van and all of our equipment. Excuse me, you can't say crap on the radio, can you?
No, you just did. So.
We laughed a lot. That's not on the list, I don't think.
We invented finger porn. It might have been already invented, but
we got a
website in the works. It's going to be a finger porn.
Yeah, we'll show you some pictures later.
Basically, just take close-ups of your knuckles and then get out the color. It's pretty dumb. Really.
I'm not sure this is an idea that will play that well over radio.
You would be surprised.
I'm always surprised.
We need some ear porn.
It was basically just a long weekend, long weekend tourlet.
Okay, we'll wait with bated breath for those stories.
Witch doctor, witch doctor, witch doctor, witch doctor. Thank you.
up a body cause I'm old, you get it? Looking for the Lucifer soul, you get it? Sniffing the blood, is it cool, you get it? I suffer my soul to no fool, get it? Witch doctor! Oh, 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 witch doctor! Witch doctor!
for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with Mistens doing What's in Star. Then we had Dan Jones and the For Reals. This is something Mike had asked me to play, One Man Submarine. I think I got a version of him doing that with the Squids. Los Skeletones, brand new out of South London. Witch Doctor. That's a strange way to spell it. All right. Chica Libre after that. Six Pizza Sustera. Brent Goodsight. That was his newest release out of Milwaukee. Gemini Nimeg. Gemini Nimeg. Yeah. Northern Jaw, Baku. That's a town, I know that. Bombus Prendon, Damaged 8mm. And finally, the Mistens with My Heart. So, Sean, bring your earliest musical recollection, please.
My earliest musical recollection is, I think, probably my parents playing like a Harry Belafonte live album. And I think I remember being really fond of the Bucket song a lot. And that really struck a musical chord with me as a little kid.
Now, were they players? Was there instruments in the pad?
My dad played guitar. And he had like a, he had a beautiful, old Sovereign, that he would pull out sometimes, and that I think my brother and I would kind of plunk on. So yeah, he had a little bit of a musical background, but I mean, other than that, there wasn't any musical instruments around till later on.
And then, first record you bought with your own money?
The very, I think, I can't remember what the single was, because I bought a bunch of 45s when I was a kid, but the first full length I ever bought with my own money was Steve Miller Band, Book of Dreams. I think I was like in seventh grade, and I hid it from my parents because I didn't want them to know that I was listening to rock and roll.
Why?
I have no idea. It was a weird thing, and it wasn't like my parents would have even cared. They weren't like, they were very open-minded. I think it was just my own weird insecurities about them knowing that I was into something that, I don't know. I've tried to wrap my head around that in my later life, but yeah.
And what was the first
But
gig?
I kept it in my closet.
What was the first gig you saw?
I'm sorry?
What was the first gig you saw?
Queen. In 1980 in Portland at the Coliseum. And that's not true, I'm sorry. I guess the very first gig I saw was the Preservation Jazz Band when I was probably like 7. My dad took me to that, my brother and I to that, because he loved jazz, and especially Dixieland.
And at school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in band. I was in just like grade school band, and I played tenor saxophone from like, you know, third grade through like maybe sophomore or junior in high school. And then when I was in high school, I was in choir too.
Did you learn to read?
But yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I took guitar lessons too. I had like when I was like, I don't know, 10 or 11, I took like a year of guitar lessons.
Is this because of your pop's guitar, or did you get your own?
No, my parents bought my brother and I, like, it was basically a toy guitar, but, you know, I mean, you could string it and fret it and play it a little bit, so we had that around, and we started banging on that, and then, you know, we were just, like, kind of falling in love with rock and roll and popular music, and I had a friend who was like a year older than me that got me really turned on to the Beatles when I was probably like in third grade. And so that became like a big motivating force for me for a while.
Well, what about with your, did you play with your brother, or you like Mike? And it's like, no way, Jose.
My brother and I would sing together and mess around together, but we were never really in bands together. I got more into music and he got more into sports. Later in life, like my brother is a really good harmonica player. So we've done like mess around, play blues stuff together, folk music together. But we never did it back. I mean, we'd sing together as kids, just having fun. But we never played together back then, seriously.
Well, what about with classmates, you know, after school, in the afternoon, you know, the basement band?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like, yeah. I had a, you know, a bunch of friends, like, in high school time that we gathered, like, in various bedrooms, and it actually wound up being in my mom's garage. We took over half the garage and, like, hung up carpet on the walls, and a friend of ours built a drum riser, and we would practice out there, and the neighbors all hated us.
Now, what were you doing? Were you trying to copy songs off records, or were you guys trying to write your own material?
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was a bad musician, and I was super lazy as a musician, so I never, like, bothered to learn other people's songs. We just went straight into writing our own. So,
can you remember the first song that you wrote?
Yeah, I think it was a song called Superstar, which it was awful. The lyrics were so bad.
The first song I wrote. You know, I didn't write many songs.
What's that?
Before the movement, I didn't write many songs at all, you know, but I wrote one, and it was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. So it's kind of in the same league as yours. Basically, it was about doing a bass solo where the rest of the band gets blown off the stage. I had some issues.
I think.
Well, I mean, there was a lot.
There was a lot of hierarchy.
You got to understand. Yeah, with Skype, you got to talk one at a time. You got to understand. In those days, there was a lot of hierarchy. Like bass and drums was where your retarded friends were. You know, kind of like right field in Little League. You know, it was all about guitar players and singers, and that really changed when the movement. Then everybody was equal more, you know. In fact, you had guys who wanted to play bass and drums.
Well, and that's what I started with, was bass. My first rock instrument, I bought like a little three-quarter scale Hofner.
Yeah, but what I heard, Sean, was tenor saxophone, and then you and your brother get guitars. I didn't hear anything about a bass.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm very interested in that because I'm a little prejudiced to bass. So.
Sure.
What happens? Do you get the bass before you and your brother get the guitar? Well, it's after the saxophone, right?
Long after. It was all like, you know, we were like in grade school when we got the guitar. And so by the time I was in high school and I was getting into, you know, a lot of like 60s bands, and I was way into The Who and the Rolling Stones and kind of stuff before punk, that because that was the stuff I found interesting, and I met some like-minded guys, and there was a guitar player already, and a friend of ours who played drums, and so we needed a bass player, and there was a three-quarter scale Hofner bass at like the local music store I grew up in a suburb of Portland called Gresham, and so I saved up my lawn mowing money and bought this bass for like $125. It had plastic strings or something crazy like that. I didn't even know you could change bass strings. I thought you just had to use the strings that were on there for all time. And I had that thing forever until a friend of mine stole it and sold it. So, but that was my first instrument, you know, like rock instrument. And I had that for a few years until my dad bought me an electric guitar for when I graduated from high school.
No, you must have had an amp.
Yep. Okay. I had an Alamo, which I had never heard of before or since. But it was like a little solid state, bass amp that my mom bought me for Christmas one year.
And you probably couldn't hear it over the drums.
Oh, no. It was awful. It had like, you know, a single speaker and like, you know. And I wasn't a very good musician either, so, you know.
You gotta start somewhere, Sean. Jesus.
You got to start somewhere.
You'll jump on the skateboard and start pulling ollies, do you?
No.
And that was great because we did. We're at the end of the first hour, August 25, 2021 edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Mike and Sean of the Mistons. Hold tight for hours two. August 25, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
As the evening draws in, draws us all in. Let's work on something together. When you go, we'll carry on. The place won't be the same. But then again, it never was. Thank you. pastries and looking swell. So if you grab your ass on a rainy day. So if you grab your ass
happy little song.
Is that a new one?
Brand new. We just learned it like 4 hours ago.
We just kind of learned.
Kind of.
You got away with it just fine, I think.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, I didn't notice.
Hey, you guys can't see it out in Radio Land, but we've got like 150 people in this tiny studio. They're awesome.
Cheers to those of you who chose to show up live.
I think there's more beer still.
Hey,
oh boy.
We're working on that.
What are we doing?
Oh, are we on vacay?
Let's do vacay.
All right.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, you can't switch.
No switching. What about if we do...
Okay, I'll just play this bass.
Sparkles in the air. Wonder in my heart. When an angel comes to greet me, may you never leave. Always stand by me. Bring me my hope instead of a road from broken days all around. I'll stay incomplete and love what I see. Feelings only compound. Pray for the best of me. Even if I'm close to you, I'm sure I'll understand. Days go by with my neglect. I'll stay in your ghost since I'm all I need. When an angel comes to greet, I hope that I will learn one day. Memories never cease. Heartache always free. When an angel comes to greet me, blissful through a lens, lit up in a trance. I know it so well. Without all your help, I've taken all that I want. When all is so short and stung in the throat, the rain can never be caught. Pray for the best of her, even if I'm close to you. Pray for the best of them. Days go by with my neglect. I'll say your ghost since I'm all I need. When an angel comes to greet me, I hope that I will learn one day.
Show start off the second hour with Mistons Do Transmission. Ben Salter from Tasmania, Bereavement after that. Lucas and Bella from nearby Sydney was Portia. The Fareels again with Dan Jones. This is again from Micah. He wanted me to play this because I guess I remember conking at Dan Jones's pad in Eugene. So he
yes,
Kansas sir. City guy, but I know he lived out there in Oregon for a while. Grab Your Ass. And yeah, both tunes have little dialogues. I guess you wanted to share that also. Some banner. Bino, I think it's an acronym. God, what's his name? Rat Cellar Rat in Columbus, Ohio area. When an angel, he's not doing bass anymore, acoustic guitar. And then finally, MMH, the Mistons, maybe that's a sound. What do you call a sound? Onomatopoeia? But no, you know, like bang and shit. What do you call them kind of words?
Oh.
Like the word is the sound, right? Click.
Right. Like bump or wham. Yeah, right, or, yeah.
Right. Okay. I think it's on.
Come on, Micah. You're the. I don't know.
Onomatopoeia or some shit. Or is that.
Yeah. That's it. I think that's
or
it.
Or is that a word that's spelled the same way both ways?
No. Okay. Uh-oh. Palindrome.
My Alzheimer, you always learn new words and hearing new bands, meet new people. Look, I want to know how the Mistons got together. Micah, Sean, please enlighten me.
I had been in a band for a while and was kind of wrapping up, and I wanted to start a band that was more reflective of like my songwriting. The band I was in previously was I kind of was just a singer. So I wanted to start something with my songwriting, and I wanted to start something that was extremely local, like neighborhood local. So Micah has been a friend and a neighbor for a long time. And over the years, we've been fortunate enough to kind of do a couple projects together here and there, kind of one-off shows. And I asked if he would be interested in getting together and working on these songs that I was writing, and he agreed, And then we had another friend of ours, Alan Hunter, who also lived in the neighborhood, and he played bass. He still plays bass, and he was playing with us. But then he got so busy. He's, like, really in-demand bass player, so it was one of those things that we could never really do anything because he was always off on tour and getting called out for recording sessions and stuff like that. So eventually Mike and I were like, well, let's just start playing shows on our own so we can start at least doing something, and then eventually we'll find someone who will have, you know, can play bass and wants to stick around and do it. So that's it.
Now, it's not it. How'd you get the name Mistons?
I love Truffaut, the and early like French New Wave film.
Sure.
And his Truffaut's, like, I don't know if it was a college project or maybe just his first short film, was called Les Mistons, and I always thought it was beautiful, and I loved what the word meant, which is like a brat or obnoxious person kinda. And so I wanted to use that name, but I didn't wanna speak French. I'm not French. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And so I wasn't going to call ourselves Les Mistons, but I thought like I could punk rock it out and just call us the Mistons. And
there is a slang in the Northwest, right? For the socket man in a freeway, Lucky Pierre.
Right. You know, and it's Misty.
In fact, there was
Beers,
a band. Wasn't there a band like 20 years ago called Lucky Pierre? I think so, from up that area. When you first got together, it was a trio, or was it you and Micah at first?
No, it was a trio.
Because when I heard the music, I definitely heard bass guitar on it.
So oh, there is.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually play bass on the record.
Okay. So your other friend, he was just there like for the first practices or songwriting?
Yeah, for songwriting, and we did like some early recordings, and we did a couple shows as a trio. I think there's like even footage of us on the interwebs as a trio, but then, like, you know, like I said, he just got so busy all the time that anytime we would try to schedule a show or even a practice, it got just to be problematic. So it was just in the best interest for him and for us just to kind of say, all right, you know, go do your thing, we'll do our thing.
The first Mistons gig, that was a trio.
Yes, absolutely.
And where was it?
Absolutely.
It was at the world famous Kenton Club in North Portland.
And how'd it go? Was it success? They throw shit?
I think they liked us, you know. And I think the it was probably pretty raw, but that's kind of the way we liked it, and still like it. So, but people enjoyed it, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think too, initially we had like, we weren't really sure what we were doing. So we had like, you know, stylistically, we had all these different kinds of songs that I had been working on, and we were trying to kind of mash it all together into one set. And so, I mean,
you know, you can't copyright a song title. And I'm going to play a song here you gave me. Same title as another Portland band, Let's Go. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep. still down there, like, building pedals and, you know.
From Pedro's show, that was Let's Go, Mistons. But there isn't a Let's Go off Is This Real. Wipers, great record. We're talking off air about it, people, and how incredibly bitchy. In fact, D-Boom went through that fucking stage and just kept playing, didn't stop. and Vuce after that with Asfalto, Change Your Heart, Tops from Manuel Armida, Margolis, No Flute Coder, and finally Laverne, the Mist. Okay, and now, I forgot to ask you, Sean, because you said you were in a singer in a band before Mistons.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you did after Cracker Bash?
Oh, I did a bunch of stuff after Cracker Bash. Okay, I was in a band called Junior High that was like power pop. And we did one show with you, Mike. I was in this band that we really wanted to be like a no-wave kind of jazz band. But it was basically just a garage band with saxophones and trumpets called Eighth Grave. But the band that I was in right before the Mistons was called the Pinnacles, and that was with actually Scott from Cracker Bash. Okay. And it was more of like a 60s garage thing.
It's been a lot of years, but I remember Scott. Cool people. And Michael, who were you playing with before Mistons?
Lots of different stuff. I was kind of a hired gun, you know, jazz kid. I played a lot of, you know, kind of contemporary jazz stuff, but hired gun stuff. And I played a lot with that band, the For Reals, that you've played a couple
Dan
tracks
Jones
from, and
Kansas City.
Yeah, with Dan Jones from KC Mo. Yeah,
he's back there.
But we met him in Eugene.
Yeah. Of course. He came out. He did a little shift and then went back home. But he's a beautiful cat, you know, and I just had him and those guys, you know, they've been together for years on and off, too, his Squid guys. Mm-hmm. A band called the Squids from Kansas City, right? You can't go wrong. We're at the end of the second hour, August 25, 2021, Dish Watt Peterson, special guest Micah Sean from Mistons. Hold tight for hour three. August 25, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
dream a dream about fishing. I was the fish. I was the fish. Fish. I saw you up there. I was too slick. I saw you up there. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour, Mistin's doing Ghost Town. Then Emma Jean Thackeray, Our People. Babes New York City. I can't believe that band name. But this is good tunes. Dream About Fishing. Most New York City people. Tim Holhouse, Have That Candlelight Dancers. Have a Nice Life. Holy fucking shit. / 40,000. Yeah, that's a title. And Mistons, finally, Follow That Crick. Okay. Yeah. What is the Mistons songwriting process? Because it sounds like it's a showcase for you, Sean. But Micah, do you ever bring fucking tunes?
You know what I did is our former bass player. I kind of learned a lot by watching him play as a rock bass player, and used some of that to inform how I played bass on the record. And then I wrote a lot of the bass parts for some of the chunkier new songs. And that's what I've contributed. I'm a framework guy. I like to help with, the arrangement as far as, you know, how many times, you know, the A section repeats or whatever it is. But I let Sean, you know, I'll build the canvas and I'll frame it up and let him paint. You know what I mean? That's just how it works, and it works best that way.
Sean, you make demos?
I started in this band. I didn't used to do that very much. I used to just sit there and play a song over and over and over again. But these days I like to you know, use my device and record it and then bring it to Micah, and then we record it again. And I'm trying to get it more into that process. Yeah. And especially with this band.
What about with words, Sean? Do you got a little notebook, or do you use voice memo on the leash or shit like that?
Both.
So you got a reservoir. If you need words, you can go, reach back and put them in there. Or do you write to order?
I try to write to order, but I'll go back through and like pick lines that I think are good or that are applicable. So it's a slow process. Like, lyrics take me the longest to get done. I usually, Mike and I will kind of figure out the framework of the song, and then once I know that, I'll kind of figure out like where the lyrics are supposed to go. And usually once I get a couple lines that are like, you know, kind of like the framework or whatever, the main point, then it makes it just, I just kind of fill in the lyrics from there, and it makes it really easy.
Have you ever build a song on one of Micah's beats?
Not so far, but I mean, definitely that's one of the things, you know, the more we play together, the more that we influence each other too, and the more that we just kind of have times just to kind of jam together. So that's definitely, I would like to think that this band is just, it started at this point, but it's, you know, there's just opportunities for growth as far as like who contributes what. And especially at some point in time, I really would like to have like a permanent bass player that brings their own voice to the band, just to kind of make it even a denser sound or more full sound, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thing I'm thinking of is Micah and his poor lonely kick drum. Nobody
well,
to dance with. Songs. Nobody to dance with.
You know, I
this,
know
this
it
idea,
sucks.
This
I mean,
idea of the four string. You know, oh, bass is just four-string guitar. Fuck that, man. It's four-string drums.
Absolutely.
By the way,
I agree.
You, us people involved with rhythm music, we took a terrible blow. We lost Brother Charlie Watts yesterday.
Which is, you know,
really
speaking of like...
Really heavy on me. I was listening to just that little fucking snare work he does, Get Off My Cloud. It's so bitchin'. So groovy.
Yeah.
Man. Look, I want to play Don't Understand.
Thank you. baby's just a wait and see. A storm is coming, but it won't wet her. She's like a high priest in a driver's seat. She walks on water in the underworld. Over the creatures at the deep dark sea. Nicky pixels of the LCD. A trailer breadcrumbs across that garbage dump. And the mosquitoes at the fever. On a sight so grim, a sight so evil she couldn't look away. My blue bean baby went and walked right in.
music for this edition. Don't understand the Mistons. Watt just can't understand because some stuff is so crazy. Tropical Fuckstorm, brand new. Blue Beam Baby. No Joy with Hawaii. That sounds like a contradiction. Mistons. Consensual. Derek Moneypenny. Waves of Nightingales. Teeth live at the Electric Banana, April 25th, 1985. That's 99 cents. And finally, Mistons once more. High Water Style. We talking about some pants here, Sean?
I am. I mean, High Water Style is definitely, I could say that is almost a tip to you know, it's like living a Econo. It's taking what you got and making the best out of it. So, yeah, High Water Style is definitely about my high water pants and thinking I'm the coolest motherfucker on the street, you know, listening to my dub music in my headphones and with my goofy outfit strolling. Yeah.
Where did you record this stuff?
We recorded it at, here, I'm going to let Micah take this question, actually.
Yeah, it's this place in Portland that was, it's a great recording studio, but it was started by a guy who started a skateboarding brand, and he had a giant indoor skate park that he built at his house, and then he built this recording studio, and then shortly after he finished this whole project, he passed away. Unfortunately, he was a really great guy named Sandy. And so, a couple guys run it now. There's a foundation in his name. And the engineer was a guy named Adam Lee, who's done all sorts of stuff. And he's like young and he's got ideas and he is hip. And
Micah,
he
Micah, just, what's the place called?
Halfling, H-A-L-F-L-I-N-G, studio.
Like as in Tolkien?
Yep.
It's named after the guy, Sandy's dad was a illustrator of children's books, and that was one of his books was called The Halflings.
Well,
and
that's
so,
what fucking J.R.R. So Tolkien calls his hobbits.
Yeah, The Halflings.
Yeah, I had to read that. I don't know why I did. It was terrible. And the other three books, too. Like that shit. Anyway, I'm not here to be all negative. Sorry. So look, I asked about the recording because it's a fucking good job. So you put the blame or the responsibility on this young producer, engineer man?
He's great. Yes, we.
Yeah,
I mean,
sounds
we're
really good.
Well, we did our work too. Definitely, we did our work too. And Micah was great because Micah has a great ear and was super helpful to Adam as far as like the mixing process, but Adam was really good and he just has, like Micah says, he has a ton of energy and was willing just to work really hard, to get it done. I mean, we really tried to do this like a punk rock record, like just blast it out as fast as possible and have him mix it as fast as possible. And in spite of that, it's still, I'm really super happy with everything he did.
Where can people find you guys on the internet?
We are on Instagram at The Mistons. We have a Facebook page that is we rarely go to anymore because
there's no Mistons personal website.
Nope, none of that stuff yet. We have a Bandcamp page. We Instagram
like
for free.
It's like having your own fanzine, Sean.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Then that's an end of watch speech. I don't have to proselytize anymore. So people. Use search engines, Mistons, T-H-E, next word, M-I-S-T-O-N-S. You don't have to pronounce it the French way. Sean says it's okay. Micah says it's okay.
It's all right. Not unless you go to France.
Yeah, well, I've been to Mr. Truffaut's, you know, in the Boneyard where he's planted. He had some little Mickey Mouse trip somebody put on his thing. And, you know, he's an incredible artist and what a role model.
Yeah.
Cocteau, I mean, a lot of surreal, great French artist trips are coming out of that period and influenced me also. And so you getting stuff together for next recording. You said you want to do it with another bass player, but I tell you, Micah, you did some good job on the bass guitar coming from another bass guitar player.
Well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, he did an awesome job, I think.
So when you get it done, either it's two guys or three guys or whatever, 18 members,
ska band,
like Cherry Pop and Daddies, whatever. I would like you guys to come back on the show and let's play the music and talk about it, please.
Absolutely. We would love that.
Okay. Okay. People, it's been August 25, 2021. Dishwap Pedro. So keep your powder dry.